This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast that's all things business across the state of Florida. And for those of you who've been tuning in lately, you know Small Biz Florida is on the road again. We are in beautiful Orlando. We're at the Renaissance right across the street from SeaWorld. And the summit we are attending today, it's all about rural Florida. 67 counties in the state of Florida, about 28, 29, 30 of those counties are still kind of considered rural. And this is the Florida Rural Economic Development Association's sixth annual summit. The room is full of government officials, engineers, support agencies, chambers of commerce, and the conversation, again, is all about economic development in rural Florida. And we've got a great duo here to talk about how all this works. We've got with us now Mr. Justin Ford, who serves as Vice President of Dewberry Engineers, Inc. Justin, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Glad to be here.
And we also have the distinguished Antonio Jefferson, who is the City Manager for Gretna. He also is a board member of Frida. Antonio, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. And I guess right on at the beginning here, we need to disclose you both are Seminoles.
And go Noles.
I'm just an old
go
gator.
Go Noles. So, it's okay. So that there is a recovery period, Tom.
Yes, I know. I'm in it. I'm in that recovery period. I'm going through the five stages of recovery now.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to this conversation because you guys can address everything that's happening really over the last 2 days here at the Frida Summit. But let's start as we always do. We'll start with you, Justin, just a little bit of your background pathway to your current role with Dewberry Engineers.
Sure. Born and raised in rural North Florida, spent my life there. My dad was an engineer. I always knew this is kind of the direction I wanted to go, and was fortunate enough to go to Florida State University, get my degree in civil engineering, and found a job close to home. And with Dewberry Engineers, at least in this part of the world. So Dewberry is about a 2,500-person firm. And in North Florida specifically, we primarily focus on municipal clients. And so the vast majority of my clients are rural municipal clients. And, we strive to find ways to help them be successful because their success means our success, right? When they win work, we win work. And, that's really the crux of our business operation here. And we've been successful doing it, and we've been really blessed.
Nice. I really enjoyed our conversation before we went online. But, Antonio, same question, kind of your pathway to city manager.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the small community of Midway, Florida, which is in Gadsden County. When I graduated from high school, I joined the United States Marine Corps, thinking that I would just go sail away from the community and, you know, and live a life away from the county for which that reared me. Ended up spending about 14 years in the Marine Corps and returned back to the community. Began my role, I guess, professional role outside of the military and law enforcement. Worked for several agencies and then had the wonderful opportunity to become the police chief in the city of Midway. Ended up elevating and continuing on through my career, became police chief here in Gretna, Florida, where I currently serve as city manager. And never thought that I would cross, you know, the boundary, I guess, of being a law enforcement administrator to becoming a city administrator. And so I've been with the city of Gretna for the last 18 years as city manager. And it's been one of the best things that I've done in my entire life other than my service to the country.
How did you fit all that in? Because you're only like 40, right?
I passed 40 just probably about 40 days ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me begin by thanking you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Honored to serve.
And, you know, it's not uncommon. I'm telling you, in my hometown of Fort Pierce, we also had a police chief become the city manager. So
yes.
it's a kind of a natural pathway. So
yes.
I like it. All right, gentlemen. So let's I think this is going to be a great conversation because I think this encapsulates everything that we're talking about here at the FRIDA Summit. It's about public-private partnerships. It's about, looking ahead, creating some vision for these rural communities. It's about asking ourselves in these communities, what do we want to be? And then strategizing around the answer to that question, who do we go recruit? Who do we bring into the communities? And I think this is a great story. So I guess, Antonio, just start with us just a little bit. Talk to us about Gadsden County and why it's a rural, why you consider this a rural county, and what's happening in Gadsden County.
Sure. Well, Gadsden County is in North Florida. We're west of Leon County, the capital, and a population of about 49,000. The county predominantly has been an agriculture-based economy there. Of recent years, we've seen some of the transition of businesses from the Leon County area and other industry spaces. But predominantly, and I think I'll call it really the base of our economy, is based in agriculture. So as you know, the world economy has changed and products are being produced in other areas of the country as well as the globe. We've seen a reduction in the agriculture space. So, you know, we've had to reinvent ourselves, so to speak.
Right.
And we spent the last years of looking at what products that we have there. And in the course of this conversation, speaking about land, you know, how can we begin the process of positioning some of this land that had been previously used in the agriculture space and creating opportunities for other industries to come to our community with a high focus on manufacturing?
Nice. And again, I guess in some other conversations that we've had on the podcast during the summit, it's about assets in these rural communities. You've got the land. You've got some available workforce. Instead of being a negative, this really is a positive. This is truly one of those times where it's about opportunity.
Absolutely.
For rural communities, it really is opportunities now. It's all opportunities.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. Right. And, you know, and look, I think that our local economy, our local leaders had to experience this shift, you know, because, again, I would say, you know, being a community leader in Gadsden County, that we were real comfortable with agriculture because, I mean, listen, America has to eat.
Right.
America needs communities like Gadsden County to be the producer. But as we've seen, you know, our more of how we play a role in the global economy and opportunities in other areas of the country for some of these same products to be grown, add technology to that, and now you have a different space. So, listen, yeah, we found it as an opportunity and not as the end of the road, so
right.
to speak.
And, Justin, you touched on it early when you were talking about your background and Dewberry, that primarily your North Florida operations are working with rural communities. Talk about Dewberry Engineers and that specifically that work with rural communities.
Sure. So we've got seven offices across North Florida, and they differ slightly from site to site, but the majority of that work, like I said before, is with rural small communities, counties and cities. And the reality is most of these communities like Gretna or Gadsden County or anybody in that surrounding area, that they're fiscally constrained, you know, that there's funding challenges with every project they have needs just like anywhere else, but the funding's just there, not there in most cases to accomplish that. So what we've really prided ourselves on and been very successful, honestly, is identifying the need, working with those our partners at the local levels, and then identifying funding sources to meet those needs. And sometimes it happens quick. You know, sometimes Antonio may come to me and say, hey, we really need to extend this water line here. And maybe 6 months later, we've identified a way to fund it. Other places, you know, we've had projects that we've spent years and years, you know, searching for the funding, but we finally get there, you know. And like I said before, when we're successful in doing that, you know, they win, we win, the constituents win. And being from Bristol, Florida, you know, is about as small a community as they as can get. I've grew up in that. I understand that, and I appreciate that. And I, you know, it's rewarding for me to be able to help these, you know, fiscally constrained communities accomplish what they need to accomplish to keep up.
So let's talk about, because it's come up in previous conversations, that the whole, you know, chicken or the egg concept. Do we wait for someone to come to the rural county community with a project, or do we build some infrastructure which could then become attractive for you know, a developer or manufacturing to relocate? Antonio, what's your take on the chicken or the egg?
Well, listen, I think you got to have one chicken and an egg. And what I mean by that is I think where we gain a benefit is, as a rural community, is we have to be creative. And I think what we've tried to do across the many years, Tom, is really try to put a whole lot of things in the bucket. Because what we see is opportunities for funding many of these projects is, it, you know, it kind of, 1 year is housing, 1 year is infrastructure. So what we try to do is put a whole lot of things in the bucket, not from the perspective of thinking that we're going to be able to get that project and get momentum behind that project, but there may be a funding opportunity that comes along. So having and putting everything that the community desires in that one bucket, and when that funding opportunity or when that private sector partner may come to the community and ready to invest in those things that the community finds important for various reasons, you have something to present to say, hey, here's an opportunity. Funding agency A, you know, this is something we like to do, a community center. So as the economy has changed, as the state budget has changed, as the federal budget has come, we've just been really successful about looking at the funding opportunities and saying, hey, we got a project teed up here. So we consider the chicken more or less the governmental agencies and our community partners finding funding opportunities. And then, listen, we present an egg and say, listen, we can hatch this and make this a reality.
Nice. So, Justin, you were telling me earlier, which is why I really wanted to have you guys on to talk about it. But you worked with Antonio and his team, and you basically, you know, went out, found some funding, and then you've developed a site, correct? Tell us about the project in Gaston County.
Sure, and Antonio, feel free to chime in if I miss a step somewhere. But this project actually started years and years ago. The Gaston County Development Council was really focused on identifying some sites that could be marketable within the county. Put a lot of effort into that, a lot of energy, funding, really strategic partners in doing that evaluation. And we ultimately settled on 6-7 sites that met the criteria that we were looking for. And one of those sites happened to be in the city of Gretna. And so as we move those sites forward and continue to do our due diligence, the cream kind of came to the top of the sites that we felt like would be the most marketable. And this one in particular, we felt had a lot of traction because of its location. It was adjacent to I-10, had rail access on the west side. There's a lot of things that brought a lot of attention and made this site attractive to potential developers. And so working with the city and our other partners, and that really is the key to this, is the right team, you know, having the right team in place. We were able to go and identify additional funding to take that original site selection process a step farther and do a master plan on this site where we evaluated, you know, what utilities were there or needed to be extended, you know, where the wetlands were there threatened endangered species, you know, what were the challenges, what were the benefits, and how did we capitalize on all of that? And we developed a master plan over a period of time. And even during that process, we even had some potential developers heard about what we were doing, and they chimed in and gave us their thoughts. Hey, we really think it would work best if you did this. And so we were able to tailor that master plan around the ideas and needs of these potential users. Now, ultimately, we ended up with a different user, and we'll talk about that in a second, I'm sure. But that process was very valuable to us because we weren't having to dream up what would be needed. The end users themselves were providing that input, and that was critical. And ultimately, we ended up with a study or report that we were able to share with these developers, these interested parties, to help increase that interest in this site and ultimately made it successful.
Wow. I guess, Antonio, I want to touch on the fact that obviously, you know, you're an innovative, you know, thinker. You're kind of looking ahead. I mean, how important is that for these rural communities? I mean, you do really have to kind of step outside the box. Hate to use that old term, but you've got to be a little innovative here. You've got to have the right partnerships with engineering firms and yes. and architects, and you've got to bring that team together to kind of make this all work in these rural communities, right? It's not build it and they will come. You've really got to be a little bit of a forward thinker. Is sure. that a fair statement?
Sure, that's a fair statement, Tom. And, you know, and across my time as lead, as city manager in this community, what I consider myself as is the navigator. And part of that, and one of the challenges that we face in rural communities, you know, our elected leaders, you know, they, in many cases, they want things done right now, you know, next election, I'm ready, we got to have something, we got to put something on the wall. Right. And what, you know, in partnership with Dewberry, what we've been able to do is create, you know, a paths of opportunity, right. but also create patience along the way, because the thing that, you know, we always put before them is that this is going to take time, and it's definitely going to take political patience, right? Which is hard, right? Especially when you've lost an employer, or there's some critical need that you need, or there's some opportunity. But so you know, again, as Justin has mentioned, it takes partnerships to make this a reality. And you know, we've been real good at saying, look, if you give us the time, you give us the space, you know, let's create the ideas together. At some point, there'll be a partner out there that'll bring that last link.
I like your, I'm going to use your term, the paths of opportunity. I like that.
Sorry. Yes.
So, of course, as you know, our little podcast platform here is all about small business. And I think, you know, through all of this, through all of your work, through all of this, the strategic planning and the development on a site, really, at the end of all this is small business opportunity. Is that fair too, Ant?
That is absolutely correct. And Tom, you know, I have had the benefit of serving as the president of the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce. Of our 350 members, all of them are small businesses. And, you know, and I've taken that role really as an opportunity to make the connection of what we're doing as a city and bringing in these opportunities, because we know, look, small business is what make America great, right, as it relates to employee people. And so we believe that the work that we're doing, which is really foundational, really, because, you know, you're putting pipes in the ground, you're doing this, creating opportunities for land. People can't see that, but at the end of the day, as these larger businesses come, there are opportunities for smaller businesses. As investment happens in the community, we've got tax revenue to begin to improve downtown and create small spaces for small businesses. So it's part of an overall strategy to improve the outcomes, the economic outcomes of our community, and that we're a real contributor to our economy, and we're creating opportunities for all businesses, regardless of their size, with a specific focus on small business.
Yeah, and I and again, that's why when I had the conversation a little earlier, I said we've got to do a segment with this, because I think this really bundles up the whole purpose of this summit. Yeah. It's being innovative. It's bringing economic development to the rural communities of Florida. And I think this is just a textbook example of how that works.
Yes.
Public-private partnership, being innovative, always having that focus on what does this do to our local economy in terms of small business. And I think this is just, again, an incredible example of the great work that's being done in all these rural communities and certainly being done here at the Florida Rural Economic Development Association.
Absolutely. And, and FREDA was created out of the need to bring all of those things together. Big business, big ideas, small business, big ideas, communities, and make the connection. And, focused on our leaders, our elected officials, our administrators, private industry, to bring them together to say, hey, here's what's going on in other places in Florida. Let's make this a reality. Yesterday, and just a quick point, we had a session on retail strategies. Some of these small communities, and we were talking about Starbucks and Target and how to bring those to the community. Right. The one thing that came out of that session for those that attended was the reality that regardless of how small your town is, that you can bring a big box opportunity to your community, because these various brands right. have units that fit within the model right. of small town America. So yeah. It's exciting. And, yeah. And I've loved my role as serving as part of the FREDA board to deliver these opportunities to our rural leaders and business owners.
And Justin, to bring this full circle now, so this site in the city of Gretna is ready for development, and you also mentioned now all of a sudden you're getting calls, phones ringing. Talk a little bit about the ring and phone.
Sure. So again, we've got additional partners that really have helped promote this site with the GCDC and others. And because of that, it has drawn a lot of attention. We've got an end user there now, and when they committed to the site, we were actually able to go get additional dollars to put pipe in the ground, to turn dirt. We're building the infrastructure necessary to support their development, the water, wastewater, stormwater, roadway, electric, all those components that they require to develop that site. And it's moving forward now at light speed. And we know that this is the catalyst to develop the remainder of the property.
So let's see. So we went from research, planning, partnership building, site selection to putting pen to paper, engineering, pipes in the ground to having an end user.
Yep.
Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Those were all the steps.
Absolutely.
And there's more to come.
I like it. It is Justin Ford, who is Vice President of Dewberry Engineers, Inc., and it is Antonio Jefferson, who has multiple jobs. He is the city manager of Gretna. I think you said you're the president of the local chamber.
Of the Big Bend Minority Chamber.
Big Bend Minority Chamber, and you also are a board member with FREDA.
Yes, sir.
Justin, how does one find Dewberry Engineers?
Dewberry.com or call Antonio. He's my best champion.
Oh, so he serves as marketing director
for
Justin Ford at Dewberry.
And proudly do so. Right.
Gentlemen, listen, I don't know. Why weren't you guys on the stage, man? You should have given a presentation.
Maybe next year.
I'm going to refer you for a presentation. All right, gentlemen, thank you again. Antonio, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.
The Marines. And Justin, thank you for all you're doing in terms of helping and supporting and providing professional services to these minority communities. Thank you, Antonio, for all you're doing locally, city manager, Chamber of Commerce, FREDA board member. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Small Biz Florida. I am Tom Kindred. The conversation is all about Florida's rural communities. I got the minority chamber on my mind. Rural communities, 67 counties across the state of Florida, 28, 29, 30 of those are still rural. And it was all about talking about how to bring economic development into these rural communities. And again, at the end of the day, that all really means small business.
So, absolutely.
Stay tuned. More to come. This is Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.